Turn in your Bibles to Malachi. And I don't even I don't even have to tell you what chapter. You already know. Chapter 3. When I was raised in church, all they had to do was say Malachi. And it was a knee-jerk reaction. Just reach for your wallet because you need get out the checkbook. It's like Pavlov's dog, you know. We were just trained. Malachi, checkbook. Malachi, checkbook. And you know, in Malachi, you can't deny this is in here. And he says, you know, will a man rob God? Verse 8, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, I want in on that deal. I mean, I want windows open, and I want devourers rebuked, and I want to be so blessed that I don't have room to contain all the blessings and so on and so forth. I mean, come on, let's face it. We all want to be that. We all want this. Well, you know, you present that over and over and over, over and over and over and over. And you just start believing it. You just start believing it. That's how you live. And so, when you believe this, and again, you can't deny it's in here, the difference is how it's supposed to be applied. It's not just the fact that it's there. It's what does it mean and how does it apply to me as a believer? That makes the difference. Well, anyway, Kathy and I heard this. We heard we're supposed to tithe. You don't want to be cursed. You want the, you know, windows of heaven open and so on and so forth. So, you know, we did that. We tithed. We tithed. And we expected the windows of heaven to be open. And we expected God to pour out the blessings because that's what we were told. And then when there would be, you know, the Luke 6, 38 offerings. You know what I'm talking about? Give, it's going to be given. Well, we wanted men giving into our bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We wanted all of that. So when they had the Luke 6, 30, we would give, you know, because we knew it was going to be given unto us. And then when they would have the hundredfold return offerings, we would give in those because we wanted our hundredfold return. And then when there were the special anointing offerings. You know, we would give in those special anointing offerings. And then when there were the name your seed offerings. On the memo line. You know, you write down, you know, on your check, you know, what you want your seed to be. All these things. And we did this. We did it. Now listen, it wasn't just that we did it. It's that we did it in faith. Alright? Because they would read from the Bible and they would say, now, if you give, this is what's going to happen to you. And so we did it. We gave, we did what they said, and we did it in faith. So, when we look back over the years, we realized, well, we never had anything pouring out the windows. I mean, believe me, we had plenty of room to contain everything that was coming in our direction. If we had to downsize to not have room for all the blessings. And people weren't giving into our bosom to where it was overflowing. We never saw the hundredfold. We never saw the special fold. We never, I mean, year after year, it never happened. And if we were to have gone to these preachers and said, you know what, we're not getting those blessings, if they had turned around and said, well, you just need to have faith, we could have said, hold on here, buddy. We do have faith, or we would not have given the way you said to give. We had faith. Don't tell me I didn't have faith, or I wouldn't have given. I wouldn't have sown. I do have faith. Well, it wasn't until many years later. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So year after 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 year. service after service, offering after offering, revival after revival, camp meeting after camp meeting. We kept doing the same thing, expecting different results, and we never got them. You know, people like that need therapy. How many Christians are in need of therapy? Now, I know that sounds extreme, but it's true when you think about it. We're expecting different results, and we never get them, ever. Well, then one day, you read a verse like this, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Well, there's nothing in here about an offering. It's all about grace and what he did. Now, some people would say, well, I need to know, when did he become poor? You know what? In a way, it doesn't matter. He just did it. I don't need to analyze how and when he became poor. I just need to accept that he did it. I don't need the formula. I just need to know, okay, well, he did it. I don't understand maybe how he did it, but, well, it says he did it. That means it's already done. Now, I need, number one, to accept this truth, and number two, understand it's by grace, not my offering. Amen. Then, next page, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's better than men giving into my bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know why that's better? It's because pressed down, shaken together, running over, men giving into my bosom means I have to rely on men to give. You see what I'm saying? Here, I have to rely on grace. Where does the grace come from? God. And God is able to make all grace. How much grace do you need? I need, 90 pounds of grace. And God says, okay, here's 500. Here's 500 pounds. You need 90, but I'm going to give you 500 pounds to abound in your life. It's all about grace. It's all about the completed work of Jesus Christ and grace. That's it. Well, then I found out, in Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God, the God that causes all that grace to abound unto me. We have peace with God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the guy who was rich who became poor for my sake, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That means I access this grace for abundance through faith, not through my offering. Amen. That means, now listen to this, even if I don't give in an offering, I can still access the grace through my faith. Even if I'm sitting in a church service and I have to make a decision, do I buy the diapers and the formula for my baby? Do I buy the back-to-school shoes for my kids? Or do I give them this offering? And God is saying, keep the money, buy the diapers, buy the food, buy the shoes. In fact, buy yourself some shoes while you're at it. Because I am able to send a flood of grace into your life that will cause you to abound to every good work in your life. I don't need your money to make my grace flow. I need your faith.
Amen. Good word.
And so I can sit there in that church service and the preacher is telling me, if you don't give and demonstrate your faith by giving in this offering, and on the inside I can just be doing this, nin, 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 I can't hear you, nin, nin. I can keep my wallet in my pocket and sit there while he's running his mouth and be accessing faith. Right there in the middle of it. Everybody else is being duped. I can be accessing faith. Father, I don't believe a word he says. For I know your grace, Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I through your poverty can be rich. And Father God, I thank you that you cause all grace to abound unto me. As I'm sitting here, the floodgates of grace are opened up and you are causing grace to flow unto me. And now I'm going to have all sufficiency in all things and abound unto every good work. I don't have to depend on the words of that preacher. I depend on your words. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And by the time that service is over, I can have received more than all these people wearing out their ink pens, writing these checks to try to get through works what I have already received through faith. Praise God. This morning, as you're giving, your Father wants you blessed. But it's by faith, not by offerings. And some people, they hear things like that, and they would think, well, glory to God. I guess I just don't have to give no more. No. See, God wants us to give. I'm supposed to give in services to help keep the lights on, the air conditioning, the heat, to help my pastors have money to pay their bills and so forth, to help the traveling preacher get from point A to point B to point C and back home again, to print tracts, to print Bibles. I am supposed to give. And not just in a church service, but I'm also supposed to give to people if God tells me to give to people to help them. But I am supposed to give. So this doesn't alleviate me from giving, but it helps me understand why to give and how to give, and that I'm blessed because I have a Father who loves me. And He has already decreed His grace to be my solution. Hallelujah. So now this morning, as you're giving, access grace through faith. Give out of what He's told you to give. Give out of what you purpose in your heart. But know this. Your Father loves you and He's going to bless your life. And it's not dependent upon what you give in the offerings. It's dependent upon you trusting Him as your Father. Hallelujah.